All right. Welcome to the New Day podcast with Pastor Nate Morris. I am your host, Pastor Nate, and so good to be with you again today. On this podcast, we want to talk about a lot of the hot button issues that we're faced with as a society today. We want to talk about those things that maybe, you know, traditionally you shouldn't talk about around the dinner table or what have you, you know, politics, religion, race issues, all of those things, because those things are hot button issues today in our culture. And so we've been having different guests every week sharing different perspectives on different things. And so today I have a very special guest. Pastor Nick Cady from Whitefields Church in Longmont, Colorado, is joining us on the program. And Nick, you and I have known each other for a long time, haven't we?
Yeah, that's right. I've known you since I was in high school.
Yeah, it's kind of crazy. I'm thinking back just to crossing paths at church back in the early 2000s. And then, Nick, you went and planted churches overseas. Would you tell us just a little bit about that?
Yeah, so I was 18 years old. I went to Hungary with a plan to stay there for 8 months. I stayed there for 10 years, planted two churches, served in three. And, you know, met my wife there, came back to the U.S. a couple of, 10 years later with three kids in tow, and now we've got four. And so I've been now here in Longmont for 8 years.
That's awesome. Awesome. And when you came back, you stepped in and kind of took over leadership of a church, an existing church there, but that had been a church plant not too long before that. And you guys just recently moved into a new facility, didn't you?
Yeah, it's something we've been praying about and praying for a really long time and saving for. And God opened a great door. We're so glad we waited, you know, those times when you're like, you know, is it worth waiting all this time? And we feel like it was. So we moved into a great facility here on the east side of Longmont, and just it's a perfect next step for us.
That's awesome. Awesome. Well, if you want to learn more about Nick, you can follow him on Facebook and Instagram. Also, what's your website for your church there, Nick?
Our website is whitefieldschurch.com. And I have also a personal website where I write articles very similar to what you're doing here on the blog. And it's nickcady.org.
Awesome. nickcady.org, whitefieldschurch.com. And Nick has a lot of good insight into the scriptures and into current social issues. And that's why I wanted to invite him onto the program today. And so we're going to talk about just some of the things that are dividing our country today. And we're not really going to get too issue specific necessarily in this session, but really want to talk about some of those things that have divided our nation, but then even within the church are causing division and splitting. You know, believers against believers, and really just this kind of atmosphere of anger and divisiveness that is going on in our country today. And you know, I was even thinking about just the individualistic kind of heartbeat that's going on behind a lot of Christians in our country today, and you know, just anger at government and. Really just kind of having that stance of you can't tell me what to do. And I just wanted to explore that a little bit in our conversation today, and also to talk about what our call is as believers when it comes to government authority, but then also when it comes to how we interact with other people and what really our role should be in that civic discourse, I guess I would say. And so Nick, you and I had a conversation a few minutes ago, talking about some of this stuff. What are some of the things that you think about when I bring up those issues?
Yeah, I think that now, first of all, I think our society has been kind of primed for this. I think there's a lot of reasons for it, why there's so much discord and division in our society. I think a lot of it has to do with, our politics. I think a lot of it, another part has to do with our media. And, you know, one of the thoughts I had when I moved back here from Hungary, and I recently had another friend who lived for 20 years. He's our worship pastor here at Whitefields now, and he lived for 20 years in Hungary, moved to the U.S. to work with us. And, you know, the first thing that really pops out to you, I think, coming back to the U.S., is how emotionally supercharged everything is. Like, it's really hard for, I think, people in our culture here in the U.S. to have a discussion and not get like emotionally, you know, I don't know, triggered or whatever, like where it seems everybody's really quick to be ready to throw up their hands, to take their ball and go home. you know, you offended me, I disagree with you, and therefore, you know, we're going to separate. Everybody seems very quick to separate. I got to say, this is, you know, in politics, you'll notice something that happens every election cycle mm-hmm. is that each side will, during the election cycle, really try to make an effort to show how the other side is different from them. And of course they would. I mean, the whole point is they want to show differences and highlight those.
Right.
And then what's so interesting is that when the election is over, in the inauguration speeches or in the, you know, outgoing president's speech and et cetera, everybody talks about unity. And why? Because, well, this is a game, right? They're showing you, they're trying to point out each other's differences, really trying to caricature each other. And then they come back and say, okay, now let's be unified. But the problem is that it's really hard for a lot of people in society to come back after they've bought into that.
Right.
And they've stepped into that place. It's really hard for them to come back and actually not demonize, vilify other people.
Yeah, absolutely. I think you're so right in that. And I think that the hard thing as a believer is to not buy into that, because especially knowing that the political parties, really both of them, play on our faith and use it as a political weapon. And that's one of the biggest challenges that I see is that, well, if you're really a Christian, then this. Or if you really believe in God, then this, you should support this issue. And of course there are, I vote very issue specific personally. And I'm not, you know, in all this discourse, I'm not saying that we shouldn't be voting. Absolutely. That's our civic right and duty as Americans. God has given us and placed us in a country that, we have the ability to have a voice in what goes on in government in our country. And so we should use that. But even within that, I think that we need to recognize that the powers at be in the political leadership in our country are attempting to sway us using our faith in Jesus and to say that we should be doing this or we should be doing that if we are true followers of Christ, right? And so I think the challenge for us is, what is our role in that? And, you know, you had mentioned Ephesians 4 to me a little bit earlier. What was kind of your thought along those lines?
Yeah, so I'll just read it out and just share my heart on this, which is, I think this is a really important word for the church today. And here's what Paul says. He says, you know, I'm a prisoner of the Lord, and I urge you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling with which you've been called. What does it mean to walk worthy? Well, he goes on and explains. With all humility and gentleness, with patience. That's needed, isn't it? Mm-hmm. Bearing with one another in love, bearing with each other. And here's the key, verse 3, eager, some versions say striving, to maintain the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace, because there's one body, one Spirit, just as you were called, and one hope that belongs to your call. And he goes on. And the point here is this, we have a higher calling as Christians. We are called to strive to maintain this unity rather than, you know, our cultural disposition, which is to divide, to live in our echo chambers where people agree with us and say the things that we think already, where we, you know, we're called to actually be part of a diverse community. One of the things I think about so many times, if you look at the disciples who Jesus called, they came from opposite backgrounds on the political spectrum.
Mm, yeah.
So you think about Simon the Zealot, he's a ultra right winger, basically. These guys were maybe even to the point of being like domestic terrorists, where the zealots were famous for being like insurrectionists, and they would like try to stab Roman officials. Then on the other side, you've got the tax collector, Matthew the tax collector. And, you know, tax collectors were basically corroborating with the oppressors, with the occupiers, mm-hmm. and they were working with them. So you have, on the one hand, you would call, you know, you have the ultra liberal, ultra left guy, you got the ultra right guy, and Jesus calls them and he says, I'm going to give you a new politic. Because let's be clear, the kingdom of God, it's a kingdom. That means it's political. The gospel is political, but it's a higher politic. Mm-hmm. It's a greater politic that we're called to in Christ. We're called to be servants of and followers of a new king. And that supersedes any other political affiliation that we might have. or opinions that we might have. And so Jesus is calling them. He says, I'm going to give you a new identity. No longer are you going to be identified by your political leanings. You are going to be identified as followers of me, the true and eternal king. And they go from being enemies. I mean, you think Simon would have maybe killed a person like Matthew had they met in the street
right.
prior to meeting Jesus. And then they become brothers. They sleep in the same house every day. They eat at the same table. And Jesus is calling them to say, this is your identity now. This is your politic now. And one thing I always say to my church here is this. I say, look, I have a lot of opinions about a lot of things, right? I vote. I have ideas about lots of stuff. But you know what? In my public persona, I only want to be known for one controversy. And that's the controversy of the gospel of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And that means that I can choose to not fight every battle in the public sphere and not argue every thought that I have in the public sphere, because I want to be known for one thing. And I don't want my other opinions to ever detract from or distract from what I am truly here, the politic that I truly adhere to.
Yeah, that is a great, great point that you bring up. And I think that that would be the thing that has been really probably bothering me and weighing on my heart the most during this season, being an election year, but even beyond being an election year, the tensions are raised with COVID and Black Lives Matter and police and all the stuff that's going on. Everything is even elevated beyond normal. And I think that the problem has become that Christians are becoming known for our political stance on secondary issues, and rather than the gospel. We should be known for the gospel. We should be known for love, right? And if people hate me because I believe in Jesus, I will accept that and I will wear that as a badge of honor. If people hate me because I lean in a certain political direction, then I've missed the mark and I've done the wrong thing. And I think the challenge is, as we've been pulled in and sucked in so many different directions to take a stand on a certain, you know, political issue, again, a secondary issue, right? We're not talking about the gospel. We're not talking about whether somebody's going to spend eternity in heaven or hell. On a secondary issue, to be pulled in a direction and then take a firm stance on that immediately alienates me from my ability to speak the gospel into somebody's life. I think that is a dangerous place to be. And even just thinking about the demands really on Christians and even on Christian leaders to feel like they have to measure up to this standard of saying, well, you have to take a stand on this issue. If you don't, you know, if you say that racism is real, then you're anti-cop. Or if you say that police are, you know, that most police are good people, then you're anti-black people or whatever. And we're not going to get into that today because that was last week's discussion. But yeah. Just there is a third way in so many of these issues that we see that I don't think that we realize, you know, the fact that we are being misled by the political parties in our country. And I'm just curious, you know, having been a missionary in Hungary, obviously there are politics there. And, you know, that what that looks like there is different than what it looks like here. Was the division the same there? And did the church get as sucked into it there?
There was a division for sure, but the church did not get as sucked into it. I would say that also depended on denominations. So there weren't nearly as many denominations in Hungary. There may be, I don't know, 5-6 major ones. Mm-hmm. But some of those denominations did get absolutely co-opted by certain political parties. And it was very disheartening to see that when it happened. Thankfully, the group that I was involved with Calvary Chapel, very much stayed out of it. And a big part of that had to do with the fact that it was a movement, at least when it started over there, it was founded by foreigners.
Okay.
And, you know, as a foreigner living in Hungary, now I became a Hungarian citizen. I vote in Hungarian elections. Even now I vote by distance.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, I have opinions. I care about things over there. But when you're living someplace as a foreigner on a mission from God, right, to plant a church, you understand your goal there is not to get all embroiled in their politics. Your goal is to be there to do a mission. look, if they had the worst government in the world, I would still be there to do that mission. And you know what? That when I was there, they had riots in the streets, closing, you know, occupying bridges, burning cars. People stole a tank once, and, you know, the people did that. It was like a big riot and all this stuff, burning buildings, Molotov cocktails, that stuff happened.
Yeah.
And of course, you know, if things had gotten really bad, let's say they, you know, as they have in other places, would we have still carried out our mission? Of course we would, because that's what we were there to do. And I think that attitude, we were able to pass that attitude on to the local people who we raised up in our churches.
Right.
And I believe I would like to think that I've brought that attitude back with me.
Yeah.
And I'd also like to think that that's a biblical attitude for Christians to have.
Yeah.
Paul talks about that.
Yeah, I think
he says that a soldier doesn't get involved in civilian affairs.
Yeah, that's exactly what I was going to bring up, is I think you brought up a good point that you stepped into naturally because being a foreigner, you stepped into a situation where you said, well, I don't really have a dog in this fight. And you saw it from the outside. Now, of course, you might have had an opinion on it as you stepped into it and said, well, really, this is what I think the biblical, you know, way to vote would be. But not having, you know, that same perspective as somebody who grew up there, I think that's an amazing thought to think of, because really we are described as foreigners, as aliens, as not of this world. Just as you said, you know, Paul brought that up in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 4, you know, saying no one enlisted as a soldier entangles himself with civilian affairs, right? With the affairs of the place that he's going through. He's trying to please his commanding officer, right? And so I think that it's important that we start to think of ourselves as such, that we're citizens of heaven before we're citizens of anything else. And I think the challenge has been, especially in our country, because there's such an American pride, I would say, you know, and don't get me wrong, I love living here. And I love the freedoms that are afforded me in this country. And this is not an anti-American sentiment in the least, but I think that as Christians, our allegiance is first and foremost to our King, and to recognize that we are not of this world, that we are of another kingdom, and that our goal should be to please our commanding officer, right? And we're enlisted as soldiers in a war. And I think of, you know, my friends who serve in the military, they go overseas, you know, they're in Dubai, they're in different places, they're serving, they stay out of whatever's going on there, right? They stay out of it, and they are there on a mission. And I think that that's where we need to get back to, is realizing that we are here on a mission from God, and not to get distracted by the stuff that's happening on the ground.
Yeah. You know, it reminds me, just even thinking about in Hungary. So I was a missionary, you know, would I have vilified my neighbors if they were communists, or if they held to a different political persuasion than I did? And that there were neighbors of mine who, you know, right, were of those mindsets. And of course not, because the whole reason I am there is to reach out to them with love and the gospel, and to be the hands and feet of Jesus. And, you know, one of the things that I think is important for Christians is, let's take that mindset that, you know, God's mission field, by the way, isn't defined by national borders. National borders change throughout history.
Right.
If you read the Bible, it says John 3:16, God's mission field is the world,
yeah,
for which he sent his son. And we're called in that mission, whether here or there, we are called into this mission. We are sent by Jesus into his mission. And so it's important that we have that same missionary mindset. And you're right, you know, we can't just get co-opted into these political fights. I was telling you just a minute ago how I had noticed people here in Colorado, in my local area, who I know that they don't go to church. Mm-hmm. And they were really upset about this law in California, or this rule in California that churches aren't supposed to sing. And, but again, the fact that they're so upset about this shows this is not a worship issue for them. It's a political issue. And like you're saying, they're co-opting things of faith,
yeah,
for just more political fighting and division, vilifying.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, I don't want to get too far off into that law. I mean, I think for me, there are lines that we don't want to cross, you know, obeying God rather than government, but also we need to submit to our leaders and our authority. But I think that you bring up a good point in pointing that out, that, you know, so often, even among Christians or people who profess to be Christians, that identity, the political identity, comes first. And it's, well, how dare they tell us this, or how dare they do that? When the reality is, you're right, there are many people that aren't even, you know, exercising the freedom that they have to worship, and then getting upset when it gets taken away, right? And I think the thing to remember is that, you know, whatever our opinions may be about whatever the current situations are, our allegiance needs to be first and foremost in the kingdom of heaven, set on the things of heaven and where God would have us serve. And really, if the issues that we are taking a stand on are distracting from the gospel, that's when we're missing it. And if they're burning down a bridge between us and somebody else over the gospel, that's where we need to stop, right? And so, you know, for example, just the issue that you brought up about singing in church. Now, for me, that would be a hard one, because I see commands in the scriptures that we should be singing to one another with songs and hymns and spiritual songs and some of those things. But is me taking a big political stance over that, or you can't tell us what to do and this and that, and going, you know, public with it and making a big stink about it? Or would I rather be quietly subversive and say, hey, we're just still going to sing in church. We'll see you Sunday. And if somebody brings it to us, then we can talk about it. But rather than burn that bridge, you know, to the gospel with somebody being this loudmouth Christian that, you know, can't stand anybody else, you know, having a say about my life, my goal should be to win people to the gospel, right? That needs to be first and foremost on all of those things, recognizing that the mission that I am sent here on is proclaiming the gospel message, the truth of God. And that if I'm being distracted from that, or if I'm distracting others from that with my political leanings and my political, you know, like sharing online or whatever it may be, then I'm missing the ball, and I'm buying into really the enemy's scheme, the devil's scheme. I'm buying into what he wants to portray to those people who don't know the Lord. And that is somebody who is political and anti that person, right? Versus somebody who is loving and bringing them the gospel.
Yeah, agreed.
Awesome. Well, we're just about out of time. So I just want to thank you for your time calling in today, and for your insight and your thoughts. I think that I really value that thought of, you know, you having spent time overseas and seeing, you know, coming in as a foreigner and an alien. I think that's a good picture for us, just to realize that that's who we are, and that we are foreigners, we're aliens, we're passing through. We don't want to get too tangled up in the affairs of what's going on here. Not that you don't vote, of course, absolutely. I vote, you should vote. You should vote your conscience. You should vote for scripture. You should, you know, I'm not saying don't get involved in politics on any level at all. That's not what I'm saying. But really what we should be known for is the gospel and our love. And those are the things that Jesus said would define us as Christians. And so that's what we need to get back to. So if you'd like to learn more about Pastor Nick, you can check him out at nickcady.org, or you can go to whitefieldschurch.com. Both of those are great places to get some more information and to learn more about Pastor Nick. So hope you have a great day. Thanks for joining us today. And we look forward to having you back next week. God bless.